You know, it's really just thinking, you know, what is best for our industry, and, you know, having them on my mind, our pig farmers and the rest of our industry, as we make these decisions, whether it's on, you know, how to battle Prop 12 or decisions about animal health and pursuing those topics like traceability. So it's a big responsibility, one that I take seriously, but one I certainly appreciate and am honored to be in the position that I am in.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Swine It podcast show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host today, and I have as my guest Lori Stevermer. Lori is the president of the National Pork Producers Council, where she advocates for the pork industry across the nation supporting pork producers. So today on our show, we're going to be discussing Lori's experiences during her first few months as the National Pork Producers President. And then we're going to talk about some policy issues that are on the forefront for the national pork producers. Lori, welcome to our Swine It podcast.
Well, welcome, and I'm happy to be here. Always interested and eager to talk about the pork industry.
Absolutely. So, you know, nobody knows you as well as yourself. So I want you to introduce yourself to the listeners and just share with us how you got to being the National Pork Producers President.
Sure. Well, actually, I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota, graduated from the University of Minnesota, and took a job as a feed salesperson. Along the way, I met this really nice farmer and fell in love and married him. So my husband, Dale, and I have been involved with the pork industry really our whole lives, and, you know, active in both our local and state organizations. And I served 9 years on the Minnesota Pork Producers Council. And from there, was encouraged to run for the national board and took that step and did that. So I'm in my sixth year on the NPPC board and have been in the leadership role as president this last 6 months or so. So it was really just a combination of always being in the pork industry and being encouraged to take those next steps in leadership.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that's all a volunteer, right? So it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort and time away from your family. But it's so important for our industry. So thank you for doing that for both Minnesota and also for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I got more involved as my kids got older, so I didn't have to make some of those hard decisions like other parents do. So it's all just a matter of what works out best for you in your stage of life.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're just over halfway into your term. And, you know, tell us a little bit about what your responsibilities are serving that role. So let's, you know, try to maybe get a little bit of information for those coming down the path that maybe want to be in your shoes someday.
Sure. Well, it's kind of a two-step process. I think being on the National Pork Producers Board as a board member, you know, we're responsible for the leadership of that organization. So we discuss issues, we make decisions on various issues to pursue. But getting into the officer rotation, I mean, just puts you into a higher level of leadership and making more decisions. And, you know, I would say this past year as president or the past 6 months, I mean, more of those decisions fall to me as the president. Now, I certainly utilize the board and the leadership team around me, but, you know, it's really just thinking, you know, what is best for our industry and, you know, having them on my mind, our pig farmers and the rest of our industry, as we make these decisions, whether it's on, you know, how to battle Prop 12 or decisions about animal health and pursuing those topics like traceability. So it's a big responsibility, one that I take seriously, but one I certainly appreciate and am honored to be in the position that I am in.
a worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
Yeah, absolutely. So how important is advocacy in today's modern world? How do we get other people to have that passion like you have?
Well, advocacy is just really critical to our industry. When you think of what we do as a National Pork Producers Council, it's about building relationships. I mean, we're visiting with elected officials, we're visiting with regulators and other industry people. And so talking about what we do and advocating for good policy is really key. And the other thing is we need a diversity of voices. I mean, that's one thing I've really appreciated as being president. There are so many different types of people in our industry, and everybody brings a different level of experience and perspective. And we need that. We need that diversity. And the other thing we need to keep in mind is that people are getting further away from ag. Our elected officials, our people that work in government or agencies, they are further removed from ag. So it's really, you know, really critically important that those of us that are involved, you know, find a way to connect with them. I think people are intimidated. Not everybody has to take the career path to become president of a national organization. I'm really encouraged over this last year or two as I've gotten to know people better. They're finding ways to step up and advocate, whether it's, you know, on a county level or maybe it's a mini fly into DC. So, you know, my advice is always, you know, number one, follow your passions. You know, tell your story, tell what happens on your farm, and then find the right way to be involved. It might just start with talking to your neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a good point. Just, you know, talking to people at work or whatever networking that you have, an opportunity to support the pork industry and just tell people what you do. And, you know, and I often say, you know, I'm a veterinarian and I work on pigs, and people say, I didn't even know pigs have veterinarians. And I said, well, you know, we have to make the pork safe and healthy for people to eat. So absolutely, whatever level of advocacy is so important.
And it does get easier as you do it more often. I mean, I remember one of those first visits that I had in a Washington, D.C. office. And I mean, there were a group of us there, and I had my talking points, but, you know, getting that confidence to just kind of jump into the conversation and talk was a little tough at first, but it helps as you do it a little more often, you get comfortable with it, you kind of understand your messaging, and it does get easier as time goes on.
Oh, absolutely. So you shared with us some activities that you've been doing. Tell us a little bit about more of those and, you know, what your role was in those activities.
Yeah, well, you know, one opportunity that I have in this position is to travel and to attend meetings. And, you know, that's really a good opportunity to network and to build some coalitions. So over the past 4 or 5 months, I've had the opportunity to attend Farm Fest, which is it's a large ag show here in southern Minnesota. It's kind of our state fair for agriculture. And I was on the Farm Bill panel, so I had a chance to talk about the pork industry and how important the Farm Bill is for us. I also had a chance to visit with some of our senators and our representatives, both on a state and federal level, and make sure that they understand what those issues are. So that's really a key event for us here in Minnesota. I had the great opportunity to attend the Democratic National Convention. So NPPC is a nonpartisan organization. We had a couple people attend the Republican Convention. I attended the Democratic National Convention. I think irregardless of what your politics are, number one, to see how that works and the convention and all that goes on was really a fascinating experience. But then, you know, we had the chance that Matt Grill and I, as a staffer, we had the chance to really reach out to Democratic legislators around the country and talk to them about our issues. And you know, like we talked about before, advocacy and building coalitions, that's really key to what we do. So that was a great event to do that at. I would say one of the other events that I had a chance to be part of was AgriPulse's Outlook Forum that they had about a month ago. Had a chance to present to a group of individuals what we do in the pork industry. And since this was all of agriculture, there was a fair amount of corn and soybean organizations and members there. So especially to talk about the livestock industry and pigs and what our issues are. Number one, it created some awareness, but then also there were some commonalities, some of the pain points that we feel, whether it's Prop 12 or some environmental pressures. You know, our friends in agriculture, other aspects of agriculture are feeling that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's important to, you know, kind of work together and understand each other's issues, right? So when you're speaking about the impact of pork producers, you can, you know, have a bit of the things that the other areas of ag are going through.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, raising awareness, because I had a number of people come up to me afterwards and say, well, I didn't realize that Prop 12 was such an issue for the pork industry. And then when you start explaining it, And then they start to realize that, yeah, that could affect them too. So until you have those conversations and kind of share that information, I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's shift about, talk about some of those policy issues. And so let's dig into the Farm Bill a little bit. What's NPPC asking for in the Farm Bill?
Well, number one, I mean, the Farm Bill is on everybody's minds, and we've been talking about it for a long time, and we really need to have it done and hopeful that it will get done during this lame duck session. So for us, really, the key issue in the Farm Bill is Prop 12 and that legislative fix to Prop 12. And, you know, for those that might not be aware what that issue is, that's basically the state of California, through their Proposition 12, telling the other states how they have to raise pigs if they want to sell pork in California. So, you know, we have state regulations that we have to deal with in Minnesota. The challenge with Prop 12, it's one state telling another how they have to raise pigs. And the Supreme Court agreed with us. I mean, we took this case all the way to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, they said it was Congress's problem to fix, not theirs. So that's why we're looking for that legislative fix within the Farm Bill. We're appreciative that the House Ag Committee has their language in there. We're hopeful that the Senate will, and that's really why we want this Farm Bill to get done. I would say there's a couple other important parts of the Farm Bill that I want to make sure we don't overlook. Number one is just continued funding for our animal health, what we call our three-legged stool. So funding for our national animal health lab networks, you know, funding for a veterinary stockpile, and then funding for a vaccine bank. And certainly when we talk about foreign animal diseases, like maybe ASF, that type of funding is really key, and doing all that we can for prevention and preparedness. I would say the third aspect of the Farm Bill that's really important to the pork industry is just funding for market access programs and foreign market development. So how do we build the demand for pork in other countries? You know, once we're in there and have got the door open to get pork in, then how do we create that demand? So those three aspects of the Farm Bill are really key and really why we've been putting so much emphasis on getting that Farm Bill done.
Yeah, it encompasses a lot of different areas, right? And all of those important to the pork industry in you know, each different way. So let's ask a little bit about trade policy issues that the NPPC is advocating for. Give us a little bit about what's going on in that area.
Yeah, trade has been our bright spot. I mean, we've had some economic challenges over the last couple of years and some profitability challenges for our farmers, but certainly trade has been a bright spot for us. I mean, in 2023, we did about $8.1 billion worth of exports. Right now, about 25% of our pork production is exported, and that adds about $64 worth of value to that each pig. So it's important to us. Unfortunately, free trade agreements aren't being done like they have been in the past. But we still need to focus on opening up new markets or keeping the existing markets that we have. And so really appreciative of our international marketing team and the work that they're doing out there. You know, a couple of things that we are asking for is renewal of the GSP or Generalized System of Preferences. This is what allows us to help some developing countries have trade with us and go back and forth and offer opportunities for pork. So continuing to use programs like that are really key to helping us open up those markets and continuing that bright spot for our industry.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, kind of some economic challenges and challenges in the pork industry. One that I am familiar with is a labor shortage. And so working in the swine industry and trying to get, you know, young people interested in a career and in, you know, raising pigs. So what's the NPPC doing in that area?
Yeah, you know, labor is a challenge for everybody, and especially in the rural areas. And you know, you kind of alluded to it. I mean, we have fewer people to begin with in a rural area, and then our unemployment is already lower than the national average. So, you know, how do we get those workers to come back to our farm? And I think a couple things. You know, we're seeing more connections with community colleges and schools like that to get people back into to the rural area. But for us, in the pork industry, like TNs, or that's a special classification of a worker from either Mexico or Canada, and it's a skilled worker, we really use those a lot on our sow farms. And so one challenge over the last year has been that there's been an increase in the denials of those TN visas. So that's put a bit of a hamper on our ability to bring in those foreign-born workers. So we're definitely have been visiting with the State Department on understanding why those denials have been increasing. I know I had a chance to visit with some White House staff about that. And so we're really trying to raise the awareness on those TN visas and why that the denial rate is increased. People often talk about like H-2A workers, but they are seasonal. And so, you know, in pig production, we're year round. So if we're going to do anything with H-2As, we want there to be some type of visa reform so that they can stay here year round. And I think it's important to realize that when we talk about these foreign born workers, they want to come to the U.S. I mean, they're skilled. They want to work on the farms. They're, you know, they've got a great skill set and asset to us. So I know when you talk about foreign-born workers and immigration, it often, unfortunately, bubbles into something else. But I think really at the end of the day, we just need to focus on getting the workers here legally and getting the ones that want to be here so that our farms and businesses can continue to operate.
Eastman serves veterinarians and nutritionists in agrochemical and animal health industries by helping them select, evaluate, and implement innovative nutritional programs. Eastman works with your team to customize your gut health approach in feed and water. Eastman's approach addresses nutritional and bacterial challenges and finds new ingredient preservation and hygiene solutions. Explore ways to accelerate and innovate your programs. Contact the animal nutrition team at eastman.com.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I was able to go to my hometown in central Nebraska this past summer, and I was amazed at just how everybody needed people to come into small towns to do jobs, from the gas station to the bakery. And so, you know, some of the towns, you know, aren't thriving. And so agriculture is what's keeping them alive. But it's hard when you can't find anybody to feed the pigs, right?
Right. And I mean, automation helps to some degree, but we're not like a McDonald's where you can put in a touchscreen and put your order in that way. I mean, we still need people to go out and care for the animals. We still need people to go out and breed sows. You know, if there's animals that need treatments, or, you know, that still takes a human to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I've spent a lot of my time. So, and I don't think that's replaceable, at least anytime soon, with robotics. So just caring, you know, and observing.
Yeah. And I mean, I know there's technology that's coming that can, you know, with AI, look at animals. There's technology that counts the number of coughs from animals. And so, you know, definitely want to be able to adapt as that as much as we can, but that's not going to replace our people and everything. And plus, you're still going to need people to monitor that type of equipment. So, you know, at the end of the day, we still need people on our farms.
Yeah, absolutely. So what other issues is NPPC focused on, or something we haven't touched on this afternoon?
Yeah, well, I would like to highlight some wins. I think, you know, we always talk about the challenges, and certainly they're great and they're important, and that's what we do as NPPC. We focus on those hard issues. But, you know, we've had a couple of wins lately that I want to make sure that people are aware of, because they may not seem like wins or get overlooked. And I think the first one I want to mention is there was a decision by the UN to reject a proposal for farms and target reductions on antimicrobial usage. So the proposal to the UN was to put these proposals in place to reduce antimicrobial usage on farms by 30%. And it was just kind of across the board, go ahead and do it. Well, because of the relationship that we have and our staff attending those meetings, the UN rejected that proposal. So there's not going to be any guidelines just forced upon us. And I think that's really key. And I think that speaks to the fact that our farmers, through programs like PQA and working with veterinarians and VFDs are using antimicrobials wisely. So let us voluntarily look at those reductions and don't mandate it. The second win that we had was in the Ninth Circuit Court. And this is basically a rejection of a proposal that the activists had brought against us and the EPA. And the court supported the EPA's approach to regulating livestock. So basically it changed if the activists would have been successful, it would have changed the burden of proof for proving violations. So in this case, the win meant that the courts believe that we as pork producers were doing a good job and that EPA was regulating accordingly. So I think those two are both big wins for the industry, that many times we as NPPC, we stop things before they happen. And these two are both great examples of stopping some type of excess regulation from happening on our farms.
Yeah, and I think listening to you bring those up, I definitely have read about, you know, the antimicrobial usage proposal and the stoppage of that, and definitely appreciate all the work that goes in to, you know, being part of that conversation. And like you said, being on the forefront and stopping it from going any farther just by educating. You know, of course, we all want to reduce the use of antimicrobials when they're, you know, if we're not using them judiciously, but, you know, a hard stop on, you know, no flexibility and not using our expertise to help make those decisions isn't really the right solution, at least in my mind. So definitely appreciate all the work that goes into that. And there's a lot of time and effort. I definitely understand that, but I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah. Well, it's a great example of the industry working together to do good things, right? So whether it's AASV and the veterinarians and the information they learn about antibiotics and how to use them, and then taking that back to us as farmers and working closely there, doing what's best on our farm. I think that's what you want it to be, right? Using good sound science and good consultative work to do what's best for the animal, right? Instead of just mandating some rule that may or may not really be applicable.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Trow Nutrition North America. Everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Keys Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambitine, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production. From gut health to growth performance, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
So we're rounding our time out here, and I want to say thank you to our listeners. And if there's comments or questions for Lori, you can send those through your podcast platform. You can contact her that way. I'm sure you can get a hold of her through the NPPC's website. And if you liked our show today, please give us a thumbs up. Lori, as a trademark to our show, we ask our guest a few thought-provoking questions to help us get to know you just a little bit more and for us to kind of ponder on some things. So the first one is, tell us a book or resource that you use in your area of expertise.
So I like to learn about organizational health. I think it helps in my career off the farm. I've had a career in sales and marketing. But especially being involved with NPPC and organizations, I just like to learn how to leverage people's strengths in an organization and work better. So one of the books I'm really recommending lately is The Six Working Geniuses by Patrick Lencioni. Talks about people's strengths and skills and then how to leverage that as a team, because everybody brings something different. So I really like that book. That's the one I'm recommending these days.
Ah, that's one I haven't read, but I am a fan of Lencioni's work for sure. He has many, so appreciate that. I'll look into it, and I can tell based on your LinkedIn profile and getting to know you a little bit today how much teamwork and networking is important to you. And so I think for somebody who's spent so much time advocating for our industry, we can take some notes from you on how we can be a better leader for our industry. So the next one is, how about a book or resource not related to animal, nutrition or sales and marketing, which is what you do for a feed company and or to the NPPC, but something else that you've run across that we should check out. And this could be a podcast or a meeting or anything that you've, just expand our horizons a little bit for some ideas.
Yeah, I don't know if I can attribute just one specific thing, but I like history. I love reading about history and what happens. I do think history kind of repeats itself. So, we think of some of the times we're in right now and some of maybe the political tensions we have. And if you go back in history, we went through that too. So I think we really learn from history. I am a big fan of Abe Lincoln. I just think of what he went through as a president. The Civil War and all those tough decisions and the tensions he went through. So I love that book, Team Arrivals, that was written about him and how he, placed some of his rivals and people he ran against for presidency within his cabinet, because he believed that, you had to have the best of the best to help you make decisions. And so I think once again, at NPPC, we go through a lot of challenges. So I think learning from history and learning from each other is important. We're not rivals. I'm not insinuating we're rivals, but I think, learning how to deal with different personalities and just bringing the best together to make for the best outcome for everybody is really key.
Yeah. And I think, and I can't imagine the role as president and the tough decisions, that have to be made. But certainly speaks to kind of our political arena in the U.S. right now with the presidential election. So yeah, interesting resource to check out. So appreciate that. So the last one is for you to share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
I've thought about this, and I'll probably phrase it in a couple different ways. I think, first of all, in this role, I get a chance to travel, and I've on a number of occasions heard people say and tell me that people in agriculture are different. And when I think about that, I believe, number one, we are fixers and doers. I mean, we dive right in, we solve problems, and we do come together and work on challenges together. And we work on opportunities together. So I think that ability for agriculture to really come together and work for the greater good is really a key attribute. I think part of that goes back to the integrity that we have. And so I think all successful people, even those outside of agriculture, it's that integrity, making sure your words and actions matter and match up. And then I think also just that care for other individuals and looking, you know, and thinking of other individuals is really key. So I think when I once again look at successful people, they come together, they work together, they have integrity, and they really care about each other.
Well, thank you. And I can say, getting to know you a little bit in the last half hour, you share some of those qualities as a leader for our industry. So appreciate that. And thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.